Welcome to NFL Live. We are just about 4 hours away from the start of week two in the NFL. Browns hosting the Bengals for the Battle of Ohio. You are looking at First Energy Stadium in Cleveland. What does Baker Mayfield do tonight to bounce back as pressure mounts? Why one person here thinks his job could be on the line? That in moments. Dan Orlovsky's here wearing something that looks white, and I think we're getting close to fall. And we've got Keyshawn Johnson, Marcus Spears also, and Adam Schefter. Dan, I really do like your jacket. Adam, let's get to you right away. Tonight's game is where we start, beginning with the health of Browns wide receiver Jarvis Landry.
He's listed as questionable with a hip injury. Laura, I'm told he's going to play. The Browns are confident, even though he didn't go through practice this week, that he'll be out there. Now, there is a question about their offensive linemen. They've got four offensive linemen listed as questionable for tonight. They will not know until the pregame about whether or not they play. As for the Bengals, you've got a situation where they got Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr., and there's some questions about them connecting, so some issues there. We'll see if they can get that ironed out for Thursday night's game tonight.
Yeah, and no doubt all eyes on Baker Mayfield tonight. I do want to point out, though, that he's never been one to back down when he's been backed up against the wall. You can't count him out. Some of his best performances have come when the outside noise was the loudest. Our NFL reporter Kimberly Martin will also be joining us later for some insight into Baker and much more ahead of this one. Baker's struggles extend well past just week one of this season. Since the start of last season, Mayfield has recorded the worst touchdown to interception ratio in the NFL with a minimum of 10 starts. And as you can see, three of the five quarterbacks on this list no longer starters in the league. So Marcus, let's get right to it. How would you describe the importance of this game tonight for Baker Mayfield?
I think the importance of it is his future is on the line as far as being the quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. Listen, this is a rookie in Joe Burrow, his second game in the NFL. We're working on 3 years now with Baker Mayfield of the highs and lows. If Joe Burrow outperforms Baker Mayfield in this game tonight, I'm not talking about a win or loss, Els. I'm talking about outperforms him, and the direction of the Bengals looks like it's trending way better than the one we've seen in Cleveland as this story is unfolding. Cleveland is going to have to start thinking about who their next quarterback is going to be moving forward in the future. This ain't a project anymore. It's been trades made. It's been elite players coming to that organization as far as putting people around him defensively and offensively. A new head coach that's supposed to install a system that you thrive and have success in. If you fall to be the fourth best quarterback in this division with Lamar Jackson, Ben Roethlisberger, and now Joe Burrow, that's an indictment on you, and people are going to have to start looking at who the future is in Cleveland.
I think it's a little too early for that, Marcus. When you look at the situation, they bring Kevin Stefanski in to get this young quarterback going. They've only been together probably, 40 days or so, guys. I mean, they haven't really even been together. They played one game. This is their second game tonight. There's no way that Andrew Berry, the general manager, is coming in to get rid of Baker Mayfield anytime soon. Now, if we're talking in week 13, they may start to say, you know, he's just not getting some of the things that we want him to get, Dan. And you know, at playing the quarterback position, it's very tough to learn a new system. I think this is his fourth system, at least his fourth guy in his ear calling plays. It's very, very hard to learn that way.
I would say, too, he's got to take care of the football. In fact, he's thrown an interception in seven straight games. That's the longest active streak in the NFL. Let's get to some more news around the league. And let's start Carson Wentz, who had a Jekyll and Hyde performance week one in the Eagles' loss to Washington. He was throwing dimes in the first half, completing 14 of his first 18 passes for 182 yards and two touchdowns. Things went downhill after that, with Washington's D-line sacking Wentz eight times. This week he gets Aaron Donald. He's talking about it.
Aaron Donald is he's a monster. Everyone knows it. Everyone around the league knows the type of player he is and how he can really disrupt an offensive game plan. You know, we're aware of that. We're aware. Somebody we got to always know where he is. I mean, he's a game wrecker, and if you let it happen, so we just got to be smart with how we handle that.
We're laughing because we're watching Aaron Donald footage there, and it's just unreal. Aaron Donald, Dan, double-teamed on 32 of his pass rushes week one. That's the most in the NFL. Despite that, he still recorded 5 pressures, tied for 3rd most in the league. What do Wentz and the Eagles need to do this week to get a win against that Rams defense?
Yeah, learn from last week and then learn from last year, and do not keep Carson Wentz in the pocket. Last year when they were going through injuries, a big focus point was to get him outside of that pocket with designed bootlegs. Whether you're in your gun, this is a naked where you got no out in front of you, but you can put him on the edge. This one is a bootleg where he's got some blocking out in front, but you're changing where he's throwing the football from. You're getting him away from those defensive linemen. We see it all the time last year. Again, protection, but you're changing the launch point. You're changing the spot where he's going to throw from. So I would start with never dropping Carson Wentz back in the first quarter of this football game. I would have 15 designed rollouts, all of them away from Aaron Donald, and make sure that you don't allow what happened last week to repeat this week.
Yo, I hear the theme song from Freddy Krueger. I hear it from Michael Myers. I hear all of these things. When Carson Wentz says he's a monster, it means you can run, but you cannot hide. And that's what Aaron Donald is, an absolute monster. They are going to move him all over the line of scrimmage to find matchups, one-on-ones, to try to dissect where you're going to take your quarterback. Look, we keep having this discussion about the Dak Prescott on the shallow crosser. Let me show you guys why that was a bad pass, why everybody talks about it. Look at number 99 on this play. That's why it's a bad pass. The quarterback cannot step up. He doesn't have room to throw the football. This is the disruption. This is the not going into the sack category and everybody talking about, well, his sacks was down. Go turn on Aaron Donald tape. I watched every clip of him last year. He affects literally 80% of offensive plays in some way. The guys around him are better for being around him. He'll find Carson Wentz, D.O., as much as Philly is going to try to move him around.
Yeah, you know, and Key, speaking of tape, the Rams can watch tape on exactly how Washington got to Wentz. What sticks out about how they should game plan against the Eagles quarterback specifically?
Well, they just got to go get him. And we're talking about Aaron Donald, right? But you still got to think about Brockers. You still got to think about Sebastian, Joseph Day, those sort of guys. And Aaron Donald creates so much havoc on the defensive line to free other people up. Yes, you can move him around, much like Marcus said, but you got to be Carson Wentz. Got to get the ball out quick.
Right.
You got to, like you said, lion, 3-step drops. So get to some sort of West Coast terminology. Put the ball, put him on the roll, 218s, things like that, that will help him get away from Aaron Donald. If they don't do that, all the Rams are going to do is dial up what Washington did. It's a copycat league.
Right.
They're going to come and get him. You look at the second half and what Washington was able to do to negate that passing game, that's all the Rams going to do.
It's going to be
not that hard.
It'll be interesting because that's the kind of the chess game between coaching, right?
Yeah.
Like if I want to make sure that I'm going away from Aaron Donald as an offense, can I formation to make sure he's in certain places? But the Rams aren't stupid either.
Yeah, but like, you can do that, but then you got to account for other people.
Yeah. For sure. That's it. It's going to be the game.
That's what happens when you got Aaron Donald on your defense. We got breaking news right now on NFL Live. Let's go to Adam Schefter for that.
All right, Laura. Chargers center Mike Pouncey is going to undergo hip surgery later this month. He's going to miss the rest of the season. The Chargers have put him on IR today. He will not play again this year. You think about all the injuries that they've been through this offseason, this summer. Derwin James suffers the season-ending knee injury in training camp, and now Mike Pouncey, who thought he would be able to bounce back from this injury after about a month or so, is going to have hip surgery, and he is officially out for the year.
So tough to hear there. Marcus, what's your reaction to hearing about Pouncey, another injury for these Chargers?
Well, you look at the importance of the position. That's the first thing that comes to mind, continuity. Yeah. This offensive line having a tremendous amount of success is based on communication, and it starts with that guy and the quarterback. So it's just a devastating loss. Tyrod Taylor's job just got a lot more difficult. But this is the league, unfortunately. We talked about this in Dallas when Travis Frederick left that team. Communication to me, though, fellas, is the biggest part that you'll miss from Pouncey. We already know he's a really good player.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because Tyrod Taylor, obviously the starter there, but you wondered if you would see Justin Herbert this year. Now that feels less and less likely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
ESPN's Football Power Index projects the Browns to get the win tonight, but don't expect a blowout. Cleveland's 4.5 projected margin of victory is the sixth lowest in the NFL for week two. Mayfield, 3-1 in his career against the Bengals. We now welcome Kimberly Martin into the conversation, coming at us from Cleveland tonight, our NFL reporter. And Kimberly, what can we expect out of one of Baker Mayfield's favorite targets, Odell Beckham? What do you know from him?
Odell Beckham hasn't been shy about saying he wants the ball early. He would like to be involved more often. And it's funny because 2 years ago, Beckham was saying the same thing when he was wearing a Giants uniform. Now remember, back in 2018, the Giants started the season 0-2 after losing in embarrassing fashion to the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. After that game, I spoke to Odell Beckham a couple days later, and he said he used the shooter analogy then. He said, I feel like a three-point shooter that's not being allowed to shoot. I want to be involved. I think I can do more. I want to help. And now he's saying the same things in this offense with the Browns. Now, I think if history repeats itself, that could be good news, because in 2018, that next game, the Giants won 27-22 over the Houston Texans, and Odell Beckham caught 9 passes for 109 yards. So that might be a good sign for the Browns today.
Little crystal ball there from Kimberly, and let's add this to the mix too. A Thursday home game might be perfect as a recipe for the Browns too. They've won 4 straight Thursday home games, outscoring their opponents 9.5 points per game. Kimberly Martin, thanks so much for the report from Cleveland ahead of this one. Let's get to some Sunday matchups as well. Let Russ Cook really caught some steam week one with the Seattle Seahawks, going away from their usual establish the run offensive approach, having Russell Wilson drop back to pass on 18 of 25 offensive plays in the first half. Pete Carroll has rained on the Let Russ Cook parade just a little bit since, saying they'll run it a little more. But either way, Wilson started off looking like he might finally get an MVP vote. I think Bill Belichick would vote for Wilson for MVP just based on what he's done against Belichick and the Patriots in the regular season alone. Russ holds the highest total QBR against New England since the metric was first tracked in 2006, just ahead of New England's new quarterback, Cam Newton. Here's what Belichick had to say about Wilson ahead of their showdown on Sunday night.
This guy's a tremendous player. Honestly, I think he's, you know, in a way maybe underrated by the media or the fans. I don't know. But, I mean, I don't really see anybody better than this player. He can do everything. He's got, obviously, great leadership, playmaking skills. He plays very well in the most critical situations in the game, with his decision-making, running, passing. His passing numbers are extraordinary. You put him up against anybody since he's been in the league, literally anybody, in almost any category, or in any category, really.
Okay, I just want to point out that was like 35 seconds of Bill Belichick talking about Russell Wilson. Key, when he talks long about anybody or that glowingly, you got to wonder if he's being honest. Are these words calculated?
They are calculated, but they are honest. And he's talking not only to Russell Wilson, but he's also talking to his team, guys. He wants them to know this dude is for real. He has a lot of young players on that defense that have not seen Russell Wilson. Although you can see it on film, it's live in person is a bit different. And look, Bill knows exactly what he's doing.
Yeah.
There's no, you know, he knows what he's doing. It's like, okay, I don't ever talk positive about my players. I'm going to talk glowingly about you, but then I'm going to come and get you at the end of the day.
It's an age-old tactic. We all know what it is. I mean, we played, Key and I played under that lineage of coaches that do that, especially the defensive-minded ones. I had the opportunity to play for two of them in Bill Parcells and Nick Saban. They are going to build the opponent up. I don't care if a team or a player – I don't care if Russell Wilson threw six interceptions last week. Bill Belichick was going to tell his team that this week this is the best quarterback in the NFL, absolutely, and he about to get going. For me personally as a player, you look at tape, you know who Russell Wilson is. If you need extra motivation from your coach to prepare different, to play well, then you got a problem when you're facing players like this. But this is the old coaching tactic that's been used for years, especially in that coaching tree that Bill Belichick belongs to.
Marcus, one thing quickly, though, he doesn't always do it publicly, though. It feels like he's real public about this one.
Yeah, he's public about it because he knows that six of his defensive players left. And he needs to get these guys going to make a difference. And two, Laura, it's to click something in your brain as a defensive player. Oh, coach, you think he that? So let's go out and respond. But a lot of NFL players, and I hate if I'm disappointing people out there, a lot of NFL players don't need extra motivation to play in this game. You're getting paid, and it's an opportunity to go out and do what you do. Some do, and some coaches use it, like Bill Belichick, but This is one that's been used for years.
Dan, when you think about the Seahawks side of this whole thing, and we did see Russell Wilson throw it a lot, especially in the first half.
When you look at Bill Belichick's defense coming into the season, a lot of people figured, hey, they lost six guys off that defense, they're going to struggle. But when you got Gilmore that can take away Metcalf, and then you decide who else you want to double team, you force Russell Wilson to have to win with his smarts, his legs, and his arm. So Greg Olsen is there, but they're not going to let Greg Olsen just run all over the field and do what he's been doing his entire career. I think when Metcalf emerged onto the scene last week against the Atlanta Falcons, you best believe a former defensive back coach, a defensive coordinator in Bill Belichick sees that, he knows that, and they're talking about it right now.
Well, Bill has made a staple, fellas, on taking away your best attribute. And the problem when you're playing Russ is he throws at a high clip, and he does have that ability to run the ball. But Bill is going to have this defense prepared for the things that are to come. Then it just goes to, can you stop him? And that's when we come into Dante Hightower not being there, Patrick Chung. But like you guys said, on the back end, still some really good players. Stephon Gilmore obviously comes to mind when you talk about trying to look at that matchup with DK Metcalf and staying away from him. That's the power of a cornerback that is that good and that stature, is that side of the field, for the most part in your passing game, won't be tested much. But Bill, how these guys prepare, they just got to make plays. Because Russ will. It doesn't matter who the defensive coordinator is.
One thing you don't ever see, though, Laura, from New England defensive players is bust. They're always in the right spot.
Sure. Yeah, well, that's going to be really important, too. With these two quarterbacks on both sides, so much fun in this game. They're the only two, Newton and Wilson, in NFL history to have multiple seasons with 3,500 passing yards and 500 rushing yards. New on NFL Live right now, we've got this information from Bucs practice. Bucs wide receiver Chris Godwin did not practice today. Of course, he's been in concussion protocol. Mike Evans was limited, but he did say he's getting closer to 100%, something to keep an eye on with Tom Brady's offense. Also, this coming from NFL Live, ESPN Saints reporter Mike Triplett. You see him there saying the Saints were actually missing their top two wide receivers at practice Thursday, Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. Not sure yet on the nature, Triplett says, of Sanders' absence. The practice report should be released shortly, but he didn't have a visible injury in week one. Kyler Murray. Yesterday, the Washington football team said they're trying to use Kyle Allen to mimic Murray in practice, but look, there's only one Kyler Murray. Ron Rivera, it turns out, is well aware.
I mean, he's such an elusive guy, you know, he gives me anxiety. So, you know, what you want to do is you want to keep a guy like that in the pocket. You want to keep that guy contained. You don't want to give him an opportunity to extend plays. With his athleticism and his arm, he can make plays. And, you know, one of the things that we've looked at is that his ability to scramble and create downfield. You've got to keep that young man contained. You've got to keep him hemmed up, and you can't allow him to get outside the pocket.
Okay, so Kyler Murray is causing Ron Rivera anxiety. Key, should that be the case, this Cardinals offense causing anxiety for opposing coaches?
Absolutely, but it's also causing anxiety for that defense, I promise you. Look, Kyler Murray is not the problem. He can run this offense. We saw him run it at Oklahoma flawless, win the Heisman, become the number one overall pick. But the problem that you have is the defense. What are you doing to your defense? If you look long-term at these offenses matching with their defenses, the time of possession on the offensive side of the ball is crazy. I mean, look at that. Look at that right there. Since they started this in Arizona, 27-54. I mean, that's bad. That's because they're putting their defense back on the field. You cannot sustain long-term winning with this style of play in this offense.
No, it's a good point, and it's a valid point, because when you first said this in our meeting, I was like, I don't know if I buy that much. And then doing some research and kind of looking at it a little
bit
more.
I'm going to stop talking to me because you try to go back and research.
Yeah, the time
of possession does matter. I'd say this, though, like, we are in an era in the NFL where it's like it's about scoring points and being explosive as an offense. And in the 21 games that they've played in, or 18 or 19 games that they've played in, they've scored at a high clip. If you look at that San Francisco defense, they scored 24 out of them last week. Three teams have scored more than 24 points on that San Francisco defense since the start of last season. Three of those teams are the Cardinals. They've done it three times. The other three are the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, New Orleans, and the Rams. So the offense is scoring a ton of points, and I get your point, Key. I get it. It's a fine balance, because just because you win time of possession and you kick a bunch of field goals doesn't mean you're going to win. I get that.
You want these W's, right?
That's the challenge. But that's the challenge for Cliff Kingsbury, is to score points and operate this offense, but also not sell out his defense.
And I think
that's a fair, that's a fair point.
Yeah, Marcus, what do you think about the point that Keyshawn's making here? You know, is this Cardinals offense even built to try and eat up some of the clock if they needed to?
Key makes a valid point, and I'm of the old school narrative of defense that, you know, run the ball a little bit, coach. Let us catch our breath on this sideline and get ready for another possession. And it also gives you a little juice as a defense when you see your offensive line imposing their will in the run game, let alone getting oxygen. But I'm with Dan on this one. The key now is putting points on the board. That's what everybody doing. That's what the teams that are winning doing. The teams that are winning Super Bowls, they are trying to score at a high clip. So I would rather the latter, Key. I would rather have an offense that can go toe-to-toe if we need to score 50, as opposed to trying to play ball control and keep the defense on the sideline. That's what the general manager, the head coach for, and making sure you subbing guys in and out so they can stay fresh. This is the issue. And both of you guys, two things can be true at the same time. But I want an offense that's going to score points in this NFL that we're seeing right now.
Well, look, everybody wants an offense that can score points, Marcus, in this NFL. But you got to have a defense to win championships. I know, okay, my defense helped me win the Super Bowl. Our offense was scoring points and cooking, but that defense is one of the main reasons we won the Super Bowl. When you look at the latest Super Bowls, the offenses, they put up points, but them defenses are the ones that's winning.
I think it's also fair to point out that this pass game in Arizona is a catch it and distribute it type of pass game more often than not. So it kind of supplements their run game. You see bubbles and quick screens and ball getting out of Kyler's hands. So I think that Cliff Kingsbury is showing us he's conscious of that, you know, and he's trying to find that really good balance, offense and defense.
Yeah, thanks for answering that, because that's what I was curious about. Can they find ways to make that up? Hey, since the start of last season, the Cardinals defense actually ranked second to last in defensive efficiency, to Key's point, behind only the Ravens. New on NFL Live from our own Adam Schefter, Titans wide receiver A.J. Brown missed practice today with a bone bruise in his knee. It's jeopardizing his availability for Sunday's game against the Jaguars, possibly beyond that, per the source. Brown likely to be week to week with this knee injury.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
New on NFL Live, our ESPN Nation Raiders reporter, Paul Gutierrez, tweeted this quote from Coach John Gruden talking about the nickname of the new stadium being the Death Star. He said, "I don't give a damn about Star Wars. It's a cool name for our stadium." I wanted Keyshawn to laugh, but he didn't, so we're moving on. All right, can't wait.
He laughed at John, not funny.
Oh, not funny. Okay, got it. Can't wait to see what OBJ has in store for us tonight, just a couple hours away from kickoff in Cleveland. He's wanting to put last week behind him, just 3 catches for 22 yards. I'll be honest, I've been impressed by how consistently mature and professional he's been, despite struggles in Cleveland. Here's what he said about his role in the offense.
The way that I feel like I've been misrepresented to the world, it makes it hard to just seem as if, oh, I just want the ball and all these things, when really I just want to help. Just want to be able to help this team in any way that I can. So you kind of get the sense of just playing your role, and you have to trust that the coaches are going to put you in the right position, and we're going to be able to go from there. So it was the first game, and we learned from it.
Key, you know a thing or two about wanting the ball. I think there's no doubt that OBJ is still one of the best receivers in the NFL. What is going on, though, there with the Browns and their offense, the way they're using him?
I think for him it's a lot of stress. You know, it's like he said, people put a lot of, you know, false narratives out there about him, and that can become very, very stressful. And I think when you look at it, Dan and Laura, you say to yourself, here's a guy that can be very productive. They got to help him. But he also has to live up to his end of the bargain as well. Dropped a few passes last week, at times getting handcuffed on routes. All of that could turn into a positive tonight for him. But if it does not, at some point in time, the tide doesn't turn where Baker Mayfield and Kevin Stefanski can figure out how to get him the football and utilize those talents, he has value. It may be time to walk in there and say, you know what, my time in Cleveland is up. I may need to go somewhere else. That's just how it goes in the NFL. Rather than be shipped out, ask to be shipped.
All right, stop right there. We've got Adam Schefter here with us. Are the Browns looking to trade Beckham, Schefty?
No, they're not looking to trade Beckham. That doesn't mean at some point in time later on that couldn't be the case, but there continues to be speculation about whether they're trading. They're not trading him right now. They have a game tonight. They haven't talked about trading him. So that's not going to happen. Again, who knows what happens down the line if the team doesn't get it together, if the team's not winning games, then something could change. I think with every loss that this team absorbs, I think the chances incrementally go up that something could happen at a later date if they stack together a number of losses. But right now, no, they're not looking to trade Odell Beckham Jr. They're not planning to trade Odell Beckham Jr. None of that.
Marcus, what is the key to getting Beckham back on track?
Playing with a better quarterback. That's number one. You can start there. When he was playing with Eli Manning, Eli had an 86% passer rating. 3-1 touchdown ratio. Like, this is not rocket science. And I understand what Key is saying. At some point, OBJ may have to own up to the fact that I need to get out of here and get with a quarterback to have success. Matt Stafford could use a wide receiver. We know Deshaun Watson can use a wide receiver. Listen, OBJ is a one. This is a receiver that is a one. In his early years, and even last year, he was a 1,000-yard receiver. Do y'all not remember how good Jarvis Landry was before he left Miami with Ryan Tannehill, before Tannehill had to go somewhere else? Listen, this is not rocket science. People, we keep talking about OBJ and all of his problems, and to Key's point, yeah, drop the ball. You have some drops. All of the best receivers in the NFL that had drops. The problem is that they need to figure out if Baker Mayfield is going to be good enough to play with all of this talent around him. What the hell you want them to do? They drafted Baker Mayfield number one overall. They took Myles Garrett one overall. They traded for Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. and Austin Hooper. They got Kareem Hunt. They brought in Nick Chubb. They got a new head coach. They installed in the offense that he's supposed to have success in. Built the defense up with first round draft picks. And OBJ is the focus? Man, get the hell out of here, man.
Everyone gets to see how cutthroat and ruthless Marcus Spears can be, but he's right. I'll be honest with you guys. Odell could have easily had 10 for 120 yards this past Sunday. He's open often. Two plays stick out to me. Listen, he's one of the best contested deep ball catchers in the NFL. Do not overthrow Odell Beckham, especially in one-on-one situations. Just throw the ball up to him and allow him to go make the catch. The plays are there. You should not be overthrowing him on these deep balls, Baker. when you get those one-on-one matchups, those should be, all right, it's my guy versus that guy. Yeah. I trust my guy and make him stop. Let him go up and make that catch. Worst case scenario, the ball falls on the ground. And so, Odell is not the problem. He was open early. He was open often. Marcus is right. Baker Mayfield needs to play better for Odell to be viewed as playing better.
That's very true, because he can't throw the ball to himself. I always say when these things come up, the only person that can is Bugs Bunny. He's the only one that I've ever seen throw the ball to himself in a cartoon.
Well,
I'm just telling you, yeah, spaceships and stuff like that. But the problem that I see is if he doesn't somehow get involved in this offense early and often, as Kimberly said earlier with us, it becomes a problem psychologically for you at the receiver position, because you need everybody. You need 10 people to make sure that you
look
touch the football.
Catches. Yes.
You need 10. And when I say 10, I'm talking about the players on the team as well as the offensive coordinator and the quarterback. You need those guys to put you in position. Standing out there being a cardboard cutout, being a $14 million wide receiver, does not feel good. So first thing people say is he's high maintenance.
Right.
He's this.
Right.
The man just want to win.
Right.
Yeah.
You look at the New England Patriots, for instance, they need a receiver. You look at some of the players that they've taken in the past, that everybody, Corey Dillon from Cincinnati, he wanted to win. He gets to New England, model citizen, no problem at all. Randy Moss, our Randy Moss. Oh, he's this at Oakland. He's bad. The man go over there and just break records and no problems at all whatsoever.
Odell's not the problem. Odell's not the problem. And my question would be this. If you're going to choose to trade Odell Beckham, how does that make you better?
Well, and we've seen recently some of these teams that decide to trade away their number one receivers. I'm looking at you, the Texans. It doesn't really work that well for them, so you don't really want to do that if you can help it. All right, we're talking about this game tonight, which is about 3 hours and 22 minutes away. And look at our picks. We're all picking the Browns in this one, and similar scores across the board for everybody there. It's not showing our scores on that particular screen, but basically we all picked a similar score. So, before we go, we've got time for one more thing. Marcus, we begin with you.
DeAndre Swift, keep your head up, man. I love what Matthew Stafford came out and said, gave his guy a vote of confidence. He's a rookie, dropped a touchdown pass that could have been a win. You got to get it corrected. This is the league. This is Unforgiven. But you can go from the outhouse to the penthouse or the penthouse to the outhouse in a matter of 7 days. Matthew Stafford, amazing for coming out and supporting your guy, man.
Something that Lamar Jackson does that's his best right now is processing. How fast his mind has gotten. He's seeing things happen before they ever do. There's a difference between going through your progressions and processing things, watching them develop and knowing how they will ever develop before they do. Just seeing his kind of understanding of that in his third year in the NFL, I've realized his mind is just as freakishly fast as his body.
Saquon Barkley, watching him last week against the Pittsburgh Steelers, no way in hell did I ever think that Danny Dimes would outrush Saquon Barkley. We got to get him into space, get him in a position to be good. We want to see what we saw last year from Saquon Barkley. It has to happen for the Giants to even have a chance to compete in the division.
And today is Patrick Mahomes' 25th birthday. Who's had a better 2020 than Patrick Mahomes? He might be the only guy that's enjoyed this year. He got a new contract. He got a Super Bowl ring. He got engaged. He's had a good 2020, unlike the rest of us. He's enjoying the pandemic. Happy birthday to Patrick Mahomes. Happy 100th birthday to the NFL, and happy 25th to Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, Shefty, kind of fitting that the league's biggest star would share the same birthday as the NFL, as you mentioned, turning 100 today, September 17th, 1920. 15 pioneers met in an Ohio automobile showroom to form what would be called the National Football League. How about a little behind-the-scenes action here on NFL Live when Keyshawn...
What are y'all doing, man?
You were told you were right about the Cardinals, that's what you did. That's Keyshawn.
That's what he did to the quarterbacks he played with when we wouldn't throw him the football.
That's actually Key imitating me. That's what he thinks I look like on TV. Thanks a lot. We'll be back on NFL Live tomorrow.